Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We're all about the Archers. I'm Philippa.
And I'm Quentin.
Today, we have not one, but we have two glorious actors from The Archers. We have Ben Norris and Madeline Leslie. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Yes, welcome both. And Ayot Midok from your home county of Nottinghamshire, Ben.
Thank you very much.
Now, you two haven't been an item for quite a while now in The Archers, have you? But you are back together on stage in a play called A Leap in the Dark, all about the BBC's first ever radio play, which is rather appropriate, I think, for Ben and Chelsea.
Yeah, so we're at the New Vic in Stoke, well, in Newcastle-under-Lyme, technically. And yeah, we're doing this kind of comedy caper about the first ever BBC radio drama, which, as you say, was 100 years ago. Almost to the month, and the exact anniversary happened while we were in rehearsals, which was lovely.
Oh, lovely.
And it's very, very based on the real story, but with some liberties taken for the purposes of amusement and entertainment. It's all a lot more last minute and slapdash in our version than it probably was in real life. But it's really, really fun and funny and bizarre and chaotic, but also really big-hearted. And what's lovely to do it, and especially to do it with Maddie, is that it's also a love letter to radio, really, and also to theatre. Yeah. And it really embraces the joys and the peculiarities of those two mediums. And yeah, we're having lots of fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. And the great thing about this theatre as well is that it's in the round. So You can't hide anything. And yeah, the audience can see everything from all sides, which is obviously very different from radio, where you can't see anything, it's all in your mind.
Yes.
So
it's all about, isn't it, the birth of radio plays. It's the celebration of the first ever radio play. Is that right? And yeah, if I've read it correctly, is it that the wireless, as you call them in those days, manufacturers were saying, look, what you're putting out is really boring. Why should we continue to make these radios? Give us something more interesting. Is that the premise of it, Maddie?
Yeah, pretty much. There's a character called Lady Hartley in the play. And I play her daughter. Yeah, it's basically just like, they're not selling because, am I right in saying this?
Yeah.
They're just not playing things that appeal to lots of people. And not very many people could have wirelesses in their homes because they were very expensive. And so they wanted something that people would really sort of want to listen to. Although there's a kind of like a Machiavellian version of it in our play where she's trying to catch them out and she wants the play to kind of do really badly, and in fact actually it does really well, and then hence why now we have lots.
Yeah,
she wants the play to fail because she wants the BBC to lose their monopoly so that we can have a million different stations all blasting out all manner of things like they did in America, and she wants there to be a sort of commercial free-for-all.
For adverts and things.
But then when she hears the play, without wanting to give too much away, her mind is changed. Yes. So it's really interesting, obviously, to think now with the ubiquity of radio and how there's at least one in every house, if not one in every room of every house, and to think that it was not ever so is, yeah, it's really interesting. Mm.
Just fantastic. And it's on till the 2nd of March, so people could still book to come and see you. We'll put a link in the show notes, but there are still some seats available, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. We finish on the 2nd.
Fantastic.
So go. I'm interested in the carryover from The Archers to your stage play. I mean, have you been able to carry over your acting experience from The Archers into this stage play about a radio play?
It's really interesting. There's one central scene in the second act, which the whole play kind of leads towards and then away from, which is them actually recording the first ever radio drama. Mm. And we spent a lot of time talking about how much they would have known or not known about microphone technique. Is it funnier for them to be entirely incompetent and ill-versed at this thing? Or what have they interested from the few people who at that time were working with microphones? News readers and that kind of thing. So things like turning away from the mic to turn the pages, which obviously we do in The Archers still, but doing it in a very kind of rudimentary and exaggerated way, making sound effects with whatever they had available. And that's a huge part of that scene. And what I think is delightful about it is the ways we've found one of the characters is kind of employed at the last minute to do sound effects. Yes. It's entirely not her department. She's a cleaner at the BBC. She doesn't know what's going on. She has to just make do with what she... And that's... So in a way, it's been a lot about undoing all the things that The Archers has taught me about radio and embracing complete ignorance.
Yeah, coming from a... Yeah, as if you've never done it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like reverse learning for you two, yes.
Yeah.
I understand Mrs. Baines, who you referred to, has to improvise using potatoes and kippers. Is that right?
Yeah, we sort of came up with this rule where we thought, wouldn't it be funny if we limited the sound effects to only what she happened to have on her, and she's just been to do her weekly grocery shop. A bag of veg, a kipper in some newspaper, and that's about it. And she has to make do. And it's really fun to sort of restrict yourself like that. And also we're trying to, as Maddie said, the theatre's in the round, so we're trying to do a radio play where we all have to gather around a microphone, but in a way that doesn't exclude 60% of the room. Yeah. So finding reasons to move position that aren't too contrived. Yeah, it's been a really interesting technical challenge as well.
Yeah, I'm not actually in that big radio scene, but I have watched it, and it is worth coming to the show alone for that one scene. It's very good.
I like this in the publicity for your production. The notes ask, will the actors be able to hold the listeners' attention with only their voices? And how will audiences know what on earth is going on? And it struck me, this is what we listeners wonder every time we switch on The Archers.
And do we?
It's 13 minutes later, miraculously most of the time we do. Yeah. Not always, yes.
Well, talking of The Archers, which we need to discuss, so some of our listeners have literally listened from the first episode of The Archers, and some of them have just started listening within the last few weeks to The Archers and don't know as much about the characters. So can we start? Can you, for those new listeners, and I'm interested in what your perspectives on this are, can you give us a bit of a summary of your characters?
So I play Chelsea Horobin. She is 19 now. She's an aspiring hairdresser, and I think she's very good at it. I think she will go places, hopefully still in Ambridge, though, set up a salon. She's feisty. I love her so much. She's got a heart of gold, but often gets it wrong, gets into trouble a lot, rubs people up the wrong way. But also, I reckon she's quite lovable at the same time. And she's, the daughter of Tracy Horobin.
Can you give us a burst of Chelsea, Maddie? Go on, I'm desperate to hear it.
You're right, what are you talking about? Oh, Mum, why do I have to? Like that, basically. There's lots of sighing and sniffing, also getting excited.
Excited, yeah. And we'll get on to Ben's character in a minute, but since we're talking about your accent, how did you build that? Because it mirrors Tracy, but it's different. I mean, there's no dispute that you two are related. You click so well.
Well, yeah, I think I said before, when it came to the audition, I just listened on loop to Susie Riddell, who plays Tracy's voice, to get that in. But then as I think I've been playing Chelsea now for 3 years, I think it is. And just with time, it's just sort of changed a little bit. And with some influences from, like, I watched a lot of influencers on social media because I was like, well, that's what she watches. And I think she'd take that on. Same with like Americanisms and that kind of thing. So it's just all kind of led in. But I mean, her voice, we were talking about this the other day, actually, her voice will change over time because as an adult, she won't sound like that. So I'm really intrigued as to how that will change.
Because your voice, Chelsea's voice, is all attitude, really, isn't it? I mean, you just convey this attitude.
It's very mouthy and bubbly and lots of attitude. But also I found when we did the storyline where she got pregnant also can be very childish and quite vulnerable as well.
Tell us about Ben.
So Ben is the youngest son of David and Ruth of Brookfield. And he was briefly at uni doing sort of politics and history and then dropped out and started doing a nursing course. And then while he was doing that nursing course, he and his partner went on a break. And during that break, these two had a little situation in the wood. Yeah, Chelsea fell pregnant and decided relatively late on to get a termination, which she dealt with very well. And Ben, I don't want to say dealt with badly, dealt with differently. It hit Ben a lot harder. And I think he was really wrestling with the consequences of what he'd done and how it affected Chelsea. So he had a psychotic episode. He had a nervous breakdown, basically, and dropped out of his course postponed his studies for a year while he sort of recovered and went to work in the nursing home to kind of re-engage with society and with his interest in nursing and caring responsibilities and now has resumed his studies. So, yes, it looks like he's going in a direction that is away from farming. Oh, I should say he's in his early 20s. So both Maddie and my characters are almost exactly a decade younger than
our actual selves. Yes.
Which is good because you get to relive the ritual humiliations of adolescence.
But we should say Ben's changed his studies to nursing now, hasn't he? So
Yes.
And you got to care for a certain Jasper Carrot, otherwise known as Sykesy, didn't you?
Yeah, which was a tremendous thrill to meet and work with Jasper, who is every bit as bubbly and as funny and as warm and charming as you would hope and expect he would be from what you see of him in the public eye, despite his character being a cantankerous old. But yeah, we had a lot of fun together. He's very generous. And what was interesting is he hadn't done a great deal of radio drama. And so he was very humble in terms of asking others in the cast for their advice and support in terms of technical things, even though you're working with a kind of titan of show business. So that was really lovely. He's just very, very real, genuine.
And he's a big Archers fan, isn't he? Have I got that right?
And yeah, and his daughter was in the show years. He has a long connection with Ambridge, which is really nice.
Do you think the whole gagriculture idea was framed on the basis that we got Jasper in? Do you think Jasper came first or gagriculture came first? Which way around was it?
I don't know. They're very shrewd, the producers, aren't they?
Yes.
Did Jakob absolutely wipe the floor?
Which is brilliant.
Love that.
Yeah, I think they're really good at finding, obviously, so much of the story building happens over years and years and such long-term planning, but they're also quite good at being reactive to events in the world or to things that happen with casting. And it can be really, really ingenious. And so I wouldn't be surprised if it was an idea that followed Jasper's casting, but I might be wrong.
Yeah.
You mentioned the scenes of difficulties that Ben Archer went through, and I have to say those were extraordinary, and I thank you for how you played them because they moved us all so much and meant a lot, so thank you so much for that. Well, they really did. But I'm interested in memorable scenes because it might not be those very climatic dramatic moments, they might be the more mundane moments, but for both of you, what are your memorable flashbacks that come to mind when you think about your characters?
One immediately comes to me that is just, it's not necessarily a specific scene, but it's more specific kind of like set of scenes or environ. And that is just how much joy I got working with Paddy Green as my grandma, Jill Archer, and how, you know, we were talking about the characters being younger than us and how that means we get to relive certain bits of our past. But in a way, it meant I also, you know, my own gran had dementia and was, you know, sort of fading quite quickly when I was Ben's age. But when I remember her at her sparkiest, I feel very lucky to have had those times, but I didn't have as many of them as I would have liked. And so perhaps this is going to sound incredibly sentimental, but I feel like I have a second family in the show, and I feel like in Paddy I have a second grandma, or a third grandma, because obviously I did have two grandmas. Yeah, there's so much warmth and care and such a twinkle in her eyes. She's one of the most wonderful people I've ever met and worked with. And so kind to when I first joined the show, just in terms of taking me under her wing. I mean, everybody was, but I really enjoyed those slower scenes where it would be Stir Up Sunday or whatever, when I was first playing the character of making the Christmas cake or walking with Leonard and Jill out in the orchard and talking about just how you're reminded of the length of the show, and talking about her previous marriage and how this part of the woodland reminded her of Phil, and just how long, what a privilege it is to belong to such a lineage, a theatrical lineage, and how much it's touched people's lives, fictional people and real listeners over the years. And so, yeah, I've really loved being a part of that.
That's lovely. That's so nice.
Oh, that is lovely. Maddie, what about you?
Oh, gosh. Well, I always remember, I really love the scenes with Chelsea and Blake. I really love those because they were like almost at the start of when I... Yeah, pretty much the second block I ever did. I think those two characters got on, and it was really fun to play around with those. But also, I think another one that sticks in my mind is doing Russ's hair, like those episodes. Like, just those silly hair-cutting ones that don't have any emotional weight necessarily, but they're very silly and they're so much fun to do. So, yeah, probably something like that. Oh, and driving. Well, driving.
Yes. Right. That's when you really met Blake, wasn't it? Yeah. Talking of grandparents, Maddie, could you paint a picture of your granddad, please? Bert Horobin. In your mind's eye, what's he like?
Oh, my God, I have such a clear picture of him. But I'm anxious to say that because I know that with radio, some people have their vision.
I don't mind. I need a picture.
Won't be the same, but I imagine him in, like, a string vest. So he probably is nothing like that. But in my head... And I was talking to Taylor, who plays Brad. We both kind of agreed that, yeah, he's a bit sort of slobs about. Yeah,
is he a bit smelly?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe not. I don't want to do him a big disservice.
I think he's in a three-piece suit every day.
Bow tie,
dinner jacket.
He might be.
Well, he loved the fashion show, though, Maddie, didn't he?
He did a great job in the
couldn't
fashion.
Get him off.
No, the audience loved him.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the string vest because that was sort of in my head as well. So, yeah.
Apologies to anyone that disagrees.
What about you, Philippa? How do you imagine Bert?
Yes, possibly a bit like Jim Royal from the Royal Family. I don't know. I can imagine.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No, we don't want any spoilers, but I am interested in what you both hope for your characters in the future. Ben, I do hope that Ben Archer's not having to run the bed and breakfast again. And Maddie, I hope Chelsea has a hairdresser at the charging station. But that's just me. What do you both hope for your characters?
Well, selfishly, for them to live in Ambridge until they die at a very old age. I really liked the Ben and Chelsea storyline because hitherto, Ben had been whiter than white in terms of his sort of, he was everyone's favourite inoffensive son of Ambridge. And I think, you know, not that he did anything wrong necessarily, but it was nice to have a storyline that complicated him and made him more human and vulnerable and a bit flawed. And so I hope that his mental health, if I'm talking about him as what I hope for him in terms of his well-being, as if he were real, I would hope for him to be psychologically well and to be able to nurse in whatever capacity he decides he wants to do that in Ambridge and to be an active part of that. But I suppose for me, like, it's always good to have some of the meatier theatrical storylines to get your teeth stuck into. But I do just love being in and around the place and contributing to other people's storylines. And that's the bread and butter of it, really. And then you have your moments in the spotlight, but then you go back to contributing ambiently. So yes, I think for him to nurse, I don't know whether he will ever get, I wouldn't mind, maybe selfishly, just because it's integral thrust of the show, but I wouldn't mind if he like dipped his toe back into agriculture a bit. I don't know what's going to happen to Brookfield, the whole succession storyline that hangs around every big farm, but we'll have to see.
Well, David's given up, hasn't he, your dad? I mean, he's in the bull all the time now.
He is. He was helping out, wasn't he?
He's driving Lillian nuts.
I'd also love for our family and for there to be that continuation of what's, because just that sense of being in the show for so long and the ways that you go from being the, you look at, say, the Grundys, who were the kind of young ruffians, and now they're like, they're the middle-aged dads of the show. And then I really just love that kind of the pace of life itself. It's gorgeous. So I would love for him to, not necessarily anytime soon, but whenever it is right for the story, to move through those life stages, basically, and for us to get to see that happen with him, or to hear that with him.
Maddie, what about for Chelsea?
Oh, as you said, hairdresser in Ambridge. Everyone comes in, talks about their life. Chelsea fixes their hair. They leave happy. She gets a dog. As I think I said before, like, I'd love to see who she's get, like, romantically, what's going on there, because I don't know her in that way yet. Yeah. I've not met her in that sense. So that would be cool to explore, but maybe that's, I don't know, maybe she's not into that at the moment. Just wanted to do well.
Yeah.
And what about this charging station? It's all gone very quiet, because, I mean, we all thought maybe you could move up there, open a hair salon there.
Well, I mean, hope so.
It's all gone. That was a big story for a long while, and we've heard nothing, nout, for months.
They're sorting stuff out.
It's forms to be filled in.
Yeah.
Planning. Forms to be filled in. Yes. Yes.
Patience.
This has gone on for 70 years. Come on, I need to be patient. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Okay.
If there was a TV crossover with the Archers, what would you like to see? It could be Traitors, Bake Off, The Apprentice. Where would you like to see the sort of the Archers mix with TV?
Well,
go on.
Traitors.
who would be faithful? I would love to see Linda Snell in a traitor capacity. I would pay good money to that. Yeah.
And Joy as well. She could be a traitor.
Yeah, and I also think...
Lovely.
I think the Bake Off is the obvious choice, but for some reason I'm drawn to be... like, maybe because we're in Stoke. I'm like, what would a great pottery throwdown Archers like? There's some handy people in the village.
That's true.
And some clumsy people. I went and tried to do a pottery thing the other day at one of the potteries here, and I was useless. I've got this bowl, but it's not going to be able to stand on the table or hold any liquid. But some reason I decided to get it delivered to my house. Yeah. And there'll be some abstract vase just on the shelf somewhere as a danger to everyone who passes underneath it. But anyway, it was fun.
So we come to the question which is given to us by the last cast member we interviewed to ask you. The last person we interviewed was John Telfer, who, of course, plays the Reverend Alan Franks. And his question for you was, is there any hope for a relationship for you both?
After the incident in the wood, I wonder whether, especially because there was such a will they won't they about keeping the baby, and whether that would have then tied, well, obviously it would have tied them together in whatever way that would have looked. But Yeah, I thought, I wonder whether we might get, and again, this isn't based on any inside knowledge, just on my own
really
thoughts as a person,
anything.
But just I wonder whether that we'll get the sense of it was totally the wrong time and totally the wrong moment, but maybe there will be a right time and a right moment for them when they're in a completely different moment of their lives, much older. Perhaps they'll have some other false starts first, but I did think, oh, I wonder if that's an interesting destination for them both.
But also,
this is a beautiful, scary thing about working on this show, like, yeah, no idea.
You don't know. Character that hasn't even been thought up yet.
Yeah.
It would be cool to have like an Archer Horobin alliance would be pretty wicked.
I'd be pro it. Only I love working with Maddie. And even though we had that big story, we still didn't do that many scenes together because it was mostly us privately thinking out about it with our own families and that kind of thing. So yeah, I would love to.
It would
work
be very
well. Let's see what the gods, by which we mean the scriptwriters, throw our way.
Well, let's hope so. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we've taken up a lot of your time, but I've just got one final quick question, which you are probably expecting, but I know you're busy doing your park runs and being healthy, but biscuits. We have to talk biscuits. What's your favourite biscuit? And would it be the same for your character, do you think?
I mean, I love biscuits, so I don't know if I could pick a favourite. It's like a favourite child. But just before we started talking to you, I had about six hobnobs in a row, and normally I'm not the hobnob guy, but in the green room biscuit tin they were just plain old hobnobs, and I remembered the joy of the purity of a plain hobnob, so right now I'm going to go for that, but just because that's the last thing I ate. I don't know about Ben. I feel like what's a more wholesome, like a malted milk?
yeah
like what's the most inoffensive biscuit?
Well, Ben, you're in vaulted company because Charles chose a hobnob as well, but we think he chose it for rude reasons rather than for actual nourishment.
He did. Maddie, what about you and Chelsea?
So I've thought about this.
Did you get asked this last time you were on?
Yeah, I didn't answer it properly. But I thought about it since.
You're losing sleep, I believe.
I am. Maybe like a Maryland cookie kind of vibe, but Chelsea is a jammy dodger. Because she's got a squidgy heart.
That's all, folks.
I can't say anything about that.
That's so joyous.
We can't follow that, can we?
No, fantastic. Although I do think, you know, Paddy Jill Archer's biscuits would be included in there somewhere, Ben, as well.
I'm not sure. I can't remember she's baked many biscuits, but if you were asking what's Ben's sweet treat at large, obviously it's the lemon drizzle no contest, because we've got to stick with Jill on this and keep it in the family.
And we're not going to start an argument about whether a flapjack is a biscuit or not, but we'll just not even...
Well, she's obviously famously used flapjacks as projectiles in...
Exactly.
You don't want to open that can of worms.
Well, it's just wonderful to talk to you both, hear more about your characters, Ben Archer and Chelsea Horobin, but also hear more about your production, A Leap in the Dark. And as I say, there will be notes in the show notes for people to be able to go and book tickets. Ben Norris and Madeline Leslie, thank you both so very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We'll be back next Tuesday. That's it from us. So it's a bye-bye from me.
It's a bye-bye from me.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.